Welcome to Biggest Geekiest. We're your hosts. I am Joe.
And I'm Randy.
And hopefully you guys can hear us this time. Last week was awful. This is episode 188 of the show, and the date is Tuesday, April 30th, 2024. So last week, I tried on a new streaming setup, and it failed spectacularly.
Spectacular failure. That's the only way to fail. That's the only way to fail.
So next time I try this, I'm going to do some testing we were on early and we both sounded good to each other, but we didn't have at that point a way to test it during the stream, during a streaming situation. So I believe I can set it up to be private so we don't hurt anybody else's ear holes. So,
Right.
So likely, and I'm just going to blame Linux.
Do it.
Because Linux has some sound issues right now. And, right. So,
so Linux, bad Linux.
Well, the sound was good, and then there was an update, and then it was not so good.
Ooh.
So that's what happened last week. So okay. It was so bad, and I couldn't tell, and neither could Pat.
And people,
only Martinson said something about the echo being really bad. So afterwards, I listened, and I was like, oh, yeah, that was really bad.
I tried to listen to it while you had it up, and it was like you were non-sounding.
Yeah.
Craziness.
So we'll do some more in-depth testing before we go live again. So, and to be honest, I don't think that we had a really great topic, so it's just as well. Maybe we should have just named it new setup, dry run, and let people laugh at it. So,
dry run laughage.
Right. So, this time around, we're lucky to have Randy on.
Oh, I barely made it, dude.
Barely made it. So,
can I have just a minute?
You can have no minutes.
Give me just a minute if you want, Joe. I want to tell everybody. Look, yeah, I've got a lot of things going on, some very difficult things in my family life. And today I had a lot going on. I told Joe I wasn't going to make it. And I said, I got to mow the grass, got to do this, got to hurry, got to that, because Cabin Con's coming. And then all of a sudden I'm like, man, I'm done. I guess I was focused trying to get done fast, and I did it. So
Sounded really like tense when you called me.
It's been a hard day. So yeah. Joe knows what's going on in the background. And I'm sorry, I will share more, but it's pretty rough. So. But, and I'm working on a new computer. I got a new computer, so I'm not quite lined up perfectly, but it'll be all right.
So your new computer is another laptop?
Another MacBook.
What is it with you and desktops? Are you a desktop hater now?
No, I get one for free at school, so I kind of can't stop myself from using it. Yeah, I'm the privileged one.
Yes, you are. So Patrick Demo says, potpourri with Pat was potpourri with poop.
We got a nice crowd. I see Iron Man, Larry and Patrick, and Martinson, Dartheic, Legion of Myth. Welcome, brother. Halcyon. Who did I miss? David Gwill, Gary D20. I feel like I missed somebody else. Did I say Dartheic? If I didn't, I'm saying Dartheic twice. Twice more. Dartheic. Right.
Good. Well, so we had one topic that Randy had proposed, but then he said, I'm bailing on you. Screw you, Joe.
So we're doing Joe's topic.
So I came up with another topic, and then he calls and says, hey, I'm coming anyway. So I had to do all this thinking.
For nothing.
Which, you know, if anybody who knows me, I don't like to do that.
I do get paid to think.
So we're going with my topic. So if you guys don't like it, well, tough. Anyway. But before we get into the main topic, which is not going to be what I put out in the as a title, going to talk about, right?
Yep.
But before we get to that, So we didn't have any gaming this past week, but we're going to have Mondo Gaming this week.
Yep.
Because Cabin Con starts Thursday.
God willing, I'll be there at least 3 of the 4 days. So we'll see. I'm going to leave Saturday night.
Oh.
Possible. I'm going to leave earlier. You know, I'm in a kind of a precarious situation.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You might, and there's no telling, you might have to leave even earlier than that.
I might leave as soon as I get there.
Yeah, who knows? So, also, I don't know, I didn't get a lot of feedback, so people aren't paying attention to it. Big Geek Emporium is down.
Oh.
And there's going to be a bit of a transition. I was hoping that the transition was going to be smoother than what it is, but it is what it is.
Is something updating? Or are we transitioning to another platform type thingy or someone
more
else?
Like a transition to a different platform type thingy.
Okay.
I was hoping. Martin said, I don't think so. I think Larry and I, since we're both in Bay City, it makes sense that we ride together. We probably would ride together. I'm not going to speak for Larry, but if he doesn't give me a ride back, I sure will.
You'll speak to Larry. Give him a piece of your mind.
And about him. Probably behind it is the front of his back. So anyway, I was hoping to have something up. There's only a couple of people that really are selling anything much on there anymore.
Yeah.
So I was hoping to have something up before Cabin Con, but it's probably going to happen afterwards.
Okay.
Something I was going to have it fixed before, but it's probably going to happen afterwards. So, that being said, Cabin Con is in 2 days. Do you have stuff that's ready, or are you just going to play?
Well, the Horde Wars gentlemen, they're going to be there. They've said they've got something I can probably run off the cuff. I've got something I've ran before, but you've played in it, but I'm thinking of modifying a little bit.
Okay.
If I run anything, it will be just Horde Wars. And I say that's probably 25% chance I'll run something.
See? Look at Larry.
He's that kind of dude, man.
He's that kind of guy.
Yeah. I called Larry. I had a question about a charger, a battery charger. He answered that. It worked out beautifully, by the way, Larry. Started it right up.
Man of many talents.
For my lawnmower. So, yeah. But, yeah, that's all I'm going to run. I think it's interesting to think about all the games that will be happening. I know Horde Wars is – there may be the beginnings of a, quote-unquote, living campaign that we may begin, and it'll be very – it'll be the type of campaign that will not be Elysium in terms of commitment, much, much less.
Right. You know, we're not going to probably have a lot of out-of-game jibber-jabbering, unless we're just saying, hey, you know what happened? This was cool kind of stuff, like you would any other game session. I am actually planning on running stuff this year.
What are you running, Joseph? That's shocking.
Yes, it is. I'm going to try to run Rifts. There's going to be lots of Horde Wars already going on. So I'm not going to be running that, but I plan to run Rifts, and if I can get enough prepared, which is, I'm going to have to talk to you after we're done here, if you can spare a few minutes.
Yep.
So looking at the Rifts book, there are monsters in there, but they're not all in one place. Right? As far as
there's monsters and all, there's a few monsters in the book. There's almost nothing in the core book.
Right.
Almost there's like, there's the Broadkill and what else? Something else. Patrick's running his game. I'm excited to play that.
Right.
He's got a new game, so he's going to be premiering an RPG at Cabin Con, which is cool.
But So there's the main core book. I've got to dig out the books that I have. I can probably find some things that I can run.
I have a bestiary if you want to borrow it.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Right. So that there's that. There's also some free resources out there.
Oh, yeah.
Found some free scenarios. This one guy put up a bunch of them. So I'm going to take advantage of those. They have a bunch of, he has a bunch of monsters. And I also found some pre-genned characters.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that because,
going to have pre-gens.
Good.
And the way I'm going to start it off is hopefully it's going to work out so that it's a slow burn into the main rules so that we can all learn together. I've played Rifts. I've never run it. So it's Oh, cool. So Martinson has a bunch of Bruce's book too.
Yeah, you can borrow his. He's probably got a monster book. Oh, Darth says there's 10 pages at the back of the core book.
Okay. Are we talking the Ultimate or are we talking about the other edition?
I have a copy of all.
Slightly different.
Yeah. I have a copy of like all of those editions almost. It's stupid. I don't know how I ended up buying like four core books. I got the Ultimate. I got two of them suckered me in. I thought it was something different.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought the Ultimate was a different book, but oh well.
Well, Ultimate is a little different from the earlier edition.
Yep.
But, I mean, it's more in tweaking of rules and such.
I've got the...
layout's all the same.
This Splugorth cover, the original.
I have that too.
And then I have a black special edition leather one, and then a gold foil Ultimate, which I don't... That's what it was. I bought them in two different places and didn't know it. So I had two Ultimates come in. I'm so dumb.
The old one. Okay, I'll take a look at my old one and see what I can find out there. Anyway, that's going to be my challenge, is having the monsters ready. Because I've been digging. I'm like, holy crap, there's no monsters in this thing. And there's no monsters in the Game Master Guide.
No, it's crazy.
So I'm like, what are we supposed to do? I guess you can, if you know the game rules well enough, just like in D&D, you could probably just throw a bunch of stats together and call it something.
Sure you could.
Right.
And just, you know, throw, and you don't have to get, you know, players like, I'll do a called shot to the elbow. You're like, I'll just use whatever mega damage it's got for armor. I'm just counting it there. I don't care. And right. If you want to give him a little special boost, drop it down. Patrick makes a good point. He says, I can't seem to, huh. Oh, well, I can't highlight things. You got all the control today. I think I know what I got. Go ahead. I think I know what I have to do, though.
Okay, he couldn't put your stuff up on the screen, so he just got out of here. Wow. Patrick Demo says the Palladium guys.
First thing I have to do is not try to do it in the middle of the stream. All right, I'm good. Go ahead. Did you see me disappear?
Yeah, you were like, screw this. I can't put Patrick's name up on the thing.
I'm leaving.
I'm leaving.
Oh, new computers. I love them.
Yes, there are a bunch in the splat books, and Patrick is saying the same thing. The Palladium guys were just so cool; they got you to buy lots of books.
Yeah. They got me; they suckered me. I got like 25 of those dang things.
So I will be doing that. Hopefully, see, I'm either going to have to bring a bunch of books, which is what I don't want to do, or I'm going to have several PDFs that I will hopefully be able to bookmark.
There you go.
And note what pages this stuff is at in my notes. That way it'll be a lot easier for me to work with it. So, yeah. So that's what I'm doing. Lots of riffs. So what I plan on doing, because I know that you not running a lot is going to mean lots of games not being run.
Yep.
So
we get people got to fill in the gaps, yeah.
So what I would like to be able to do is have an ongoing game throughout the whole Cabin Con.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
Run as many or as few people who want to play.
There you go. Kind of have riffs on the ready if someone wants to play. Gotcha.
Right. So I'm going to set it up so that people can jump in. I'll have plenty of pre-gens, and there won't be a huge issue as far as people jumping in the middle of it.
Cool. Oh, yeah. That's true.
So, yeah, Darth Dick also says in Rifts, the OCCs and RCCs are really for use as enemies as well. And Martin says, count him in. Yay. Good deal. I at least have one people
to play.
One person playing.
Yeah, the RCCs, just throw a dragon hatchling at them. That'll be enough for most parties. Or a godling. Just make a bite of godling.
You know, I was looking at those. At one point, the godling and the demigod.
Mm-hmm.
And the godling, and for the godling, it says these really shouldn't be players. This is more like an enemy or an NPC that you encounter. The demigod is more iffy because they only have one godlike power. But
Oh, the godling's more powerful than the demigod?
Yeah.
Okay.
The demigod is a lesser version of a god.
Oh, so the godling is becoming a deity. That's kind of the theme, I guess. Maybe.
I guess. It's just, it's two words that are kind of synonymous, and they just chose the godling to be the one above and the demigod to be the one below.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. I thought Larry said he was going to run a Horde Wars game as well. Cool. And 13th Age. So we've got games.
We do, yeah. I'm sure.
Hold on, guys.
Where did Joe go? He is gone. Joe has left me. I'm winging it. Joe, check your Discord. I will tell him that, Legion. But I can't show that because I need to log in. If I log in, we'll both be out. So, yeah. And I think we got a guy running quite a bit of, what else are they running? Fallout. So, that's another one. I don't know what Joe's doing, but he's messing with stuff. So, anyway, you back, Joe?
I am back for a moment. I need to open windows so we can get some airflow.
Okay.
But right before I do that, I've got a request to look at my...
Legion says check Discord. Legion of Myth has something I think he wants you to see.
Where at?
Where at, Legion, he says. Joe's not savvy like I am.
Oh, there it is. There it is. It's a direct message. Oh, Rift's Bestiary.
Oh, cool.
He sent me a little something-something.
Noise.
Thank you. I probably shouldn't have said that out loud.
Well, you will pay for it. You will purchase it like a good boy.
I will.
And Martinson said he has Dread. I think he said that 7 times, so he might have Dread ready to go. So I think that's all he's planning on running.
You know, I thought I bought it, the Bestiary.
Yeah.
And I got the PDF.
Oh, okay.
And I never noticed this. It has the same cover image as the Bionic supplement.
Oh.
And I just thought they were similar, but no, it was exactly the same. So when I just looked at it, I'm like, this is not the Bestiary. So I have to look through my books, and I might end up having the hard copy, and there might have been some snafu when I downloaded the PDFs from their site.
Right on.
And I never noticed it. And it's probably too late now because it's been over a year since I got it. So anyway, hey, Patty's Parlor, welcome. All right, anything else you want to talk about for Cabin Con?
Nothing really major. I think I'm good.
All right. So, and Randy has no idea what the topic is that I'm talking about.
No, we're doing it live.
Although the little tagline I have underneath my name might be a slight clue. All right. Cabin Con, we eat a lot.
We do.
In general. We're always eating because there's always food out. Mm-hmm. So in the spirit of eating, when you're fighting your monsters and you've killed them, what is one of the first things my characters often say?
Can we harvest some food and eat these things?
Yeah, is that good eating?
Is that good eating? Killed a Bulette. I want Bulette steaks.
Right. So, which monsters are good to eat? Right. Mm-hmm. But before we get any farther in to the various monsters and whether or not they might be tasty, humanoids or anything sapient, I'm just not going to even consider.
Right. I don't think they would. I don't think they would taste good.
I mean, even the evil versions of the dwarf, like the Duergar, the Underdark.
Yeah, that's dwarf. The Duergar, yep.
Right.
Our man's got a great one.
Rust monsters taste good, but use a wooden spoon.
Right on.
Well, you know, if they're metal, well, no, I guess it wouldn't matter. Yeah, okay, so... If they oxidize all metals when you eat them, it's going to cause you some issues inside.
Yeah, going to oxidize your iron.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if that's going to be good for you.
That'd be very X-Men of them.
Right.
Is that iron in your body? Abelus right. Sushi.
So while eating a sapient character that's a creature that's not a human isn't exactly cannibalism, mm-hmm. It's not a whole lot different.
Yeah, really. I wouldn't do it, but
whatever. So, a couple of, I think, some cool points are that recipes You can add distinctiveness to your world by having unusual recipes. And it can also be region to region. So how about some giant spider fritters? I mean, spider legs are crunchy. Oh, well, hold on. I forgot to do something. Hold on. I'll be right back. Talk about monster food.
I got a spider. Now, when it comes to spider legs, I have seen a young woman. I want to say she was in an African nation. Her and her friend, they took a bunch of tarantulas, put them in a big, wide metal pan. They cooked it over a fire, and kind of they all shriveled up and became kind of hard. Then they sprinkled sugar on them and ate them as dessert. So I guess I shouldn't be too far from that. I think spider, crunchy spiders might be good. I take their legs and crunch them up. I don't know, but giant spiders would be huge. I think a boulette would be good. I mean, they tend to eat horses and unfortunately halflings, so they probably would be good to eat. Boulette steaks or boulette flambé. I don't even know what flambé is. I'm just saying words because it sounds like fun. What else would be a good monster? So we get people. I can't highlight your answers, guys, but Legion of Myths, because my computer's too new and I'm not logged in here at StreamYard because I'm dumb. Dragon Turtle Feeds 5000 says Legion of Myth. Mind Flayer Calamari. Nagas. Patty's Parlor said, what was it? Aboleth Sushi. It may not be, Patty. Patty says, is it generally not good to eat carnivores? That may be the case. So maybe a boulette's not good. So maybe we want to eat something like, well, then it'd get boring if we're going to eat just, if it's a, what's a monstrous herbivore that would still attack a creature? Yeah. Troll man. Troll meat feeds hundreds as long as you keep some leftovers. Right on. Yes, Patrick, we can never watch it. We guys don't hate anime. I hate anime. Joe likes some anime.
Some.
I'm trying to get over that. It's really hard for me. I find.
Hey, if you don't like it, you don't like it.
I just find anime so dumb. But, you know, hey, to each their own.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Patty said flump jelly. Mm. Patty made a good point. He said, is it generally not good to eat carnivores?
I don't think that that's.
What carnivores do we eat?
Okay. We eat. Okay. Fish eaters, the best eating that people these days will say is steak, right? And steak is not a carnivore, but pigs kind of are. They're omnivores. Something that just eats meat, I don't know, because most of them are like lions and tigers and apes, big apes.
Doodle squash, people eat sharks, they eat alligators. Legion says he's going to tell his wife we hate their her culture. Oh, for anime, right. That's probably the reason.
That's entire culture.
That's the reason I hate it. It's because of the culture.
Yeah. Oh, right. He mentioned that before. Patrick did. Dungeon
Delicious and Delicious and Dungeon is an anime that's all about this subject. So,
yes.
And chickens are omnivore. That's true. I was thinking of them too.
Mm-hmm. They'll eat anything that they'll eat anything.
Sheep taste good. In fact, I have some lamb vindaloo waiting on me after the show. So that's cool.
What's your address again?
You wouldn't like it. It's too hot, Joe. Indian food. You can't eat Indian food.
I can. I have. I just tell them don't put any hot stuff in it. They go back into the kitchen and they laugh. They laugh at each other. They probably take pictures of me and post me on the internet and say, this person doesn't.
I'll rephrase that. You would be welcome to my spicy Indian food, but I don't think you would like yourself after you ate it.
Right.
Chickens eat is a predator and eats frogs. Yes, they are predators. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Quill says.
Yeah. Well, chickens often eat eggs that aren't, that may or may not be made to grow into another chicken. What's that word? To join the egg and the other part.
Oh, that haven't been. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Stop saying words. Stop that, Joe.
Yeah. So, eggs that are whether or not they're going to become little baby chickens.
Mm-hmm.
Chickens will eat those things. Fertilize. That's not the right word, but close to it. I mean, anyway.
Yeah.
You mentioned Violette.
Yeah, but
liver. Violette liver. Yummy.
I think Violette steaks would be good. I think Violette steaks would be good. There should be a lot of meat on those big round and maybe like really like probably very dense meat though.
They would be similar to you would think perhaps similar to sharks because of their body structure, but do they eat through the dirt or do they just glide through it with a special power?
In third edition, it was a glide ability, so.
Yeah. Right. So, also, along with the recipes, you're going to have a marketplace, some kind of market for this.
Mm-hmm.
If it's stuff that's more normal but maybe big, it's probably just going to be in whatever food market you would normally have. But if you're talking, go ahead.
Is that a wet market where they have like meat? Or am I thinking of something else?
Well, you know, they call it different things, but in a fantasy world, you're just going to have a market that's going to have whatever.
Yeah.
Whether it's raw or whether there's live animals there or whatever.
You probably wouldn't have super rare creatures, like, except in big cities, though.
Got thoughts about that one there, Arn Man. Undead skeletons for stock. There's not much left on them for stock normally, I would think.
And they might be super old. A cockatrice might be tasty. Might be a little
might be crunchy.
Might turn to stone in your mouth.
But depends on if those how much of those, if they have magic abilities, how much of them remain after death.
Right. Because I know I used to have a lot of, like, especially extraplanar creatures, they would turn into goo after you kill them. I don't know where I got that from, but I did that a lot. You know what I'm talking about, demons and devils. You'd never...
Right, yeah.
And so if they had magic items, of course, they turned to goo too.
So Iron Man says, can vegans eat Shambling Mound? And David Gwill says, nah, Shambling Mounds would eat them.
They can't, because in my world, there's no such thing as vegans, but I'm sure they could in Iron Man's world.
But you could have a market for especially the more exotic parts,
mm-hmm.
especially if it's not necessarily for food, but for other purposes.
Sure. And
because you could need those parts as a player, so you need to find the market where they're at,
mm-hmm.
whether it's legitimate or not. You could also have those parts.
Mm.
And then you need to get rid of them if you're not going to use them, so you might still want to find the market.
Yep. And you could have a black market version where, well, not black market. What if it was really elite and it was very expensive? Because maybe certain, you know, there could be like the bladder.
Exclusive.
Yeah. The whiskers of a Rakshasa are an aphrodisiac, like a super powerful aphrodisiac. And maybe the wealthy need it could extend life if you could have a concoction, a drink made from the bones of the crushed bones of a lich. You could live for an extra 20 years. I mean, you could do all sorts of weird magical things that could be.
You're going to have lots of snake oil cells.
Yes.
And then you're going to have snake oil that actually does stuff, especially if it's from a magical snake. But if there's not one, currently, you might have the players create one. Because if you don't create it yourself as a DM, but are open for the players to make alterations in the world like that, not just say that it exists, but make that thing happen themselves, that could be cool too.
Yep. Legion's got a cool comment. I wish I can't highlight them, so 7:50.
You still can't?
No, I got to sign in and then I'll end up leaving, so I don't know what's going on. So I like
that. This one?
Yeah, in all seriousness, Legion says, I run side adventures for low-level characters to kill something rare, cockatrice for an example, for tavern trophies, exotic meal. Yeah, that's cool. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right, so... So, really, any animal that's normally good to eat in our world mm-hmm. should be fine in your D&D world, even if it's an oddball,
mm-hmm.
like Rocky Mountain oysters.
Eat them at your peril.
Yeah. I actually saw a cooking video. If you're familiar with Uncle Roger, he's an Asian guy. I can't
remember. Oh, you've talked about him, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And they're making something else, and then he says, yeah, we also like this stuff. And he's like, what is that? He says, oh, this is Rocky Mountain oysters. And I don't know if Uncle Roger actually knew what they were or not, but he kind of played the straight guy in this and said, what's that? And then, because you know, he wanted him to really make it very plain what exactly they were. Mm-hmm. But, so for me, no thank you. But if it's good to eat normally in our regular world, it should be fine in your game world, unless you mm-hmm. have some reason for it not to be. Some examples are like alligator, boar, elk, squirrel, anything like that.
Joe, Armin makes a good point. The title of the stream does now match. It references
cooking. Stirring.
Stirring.
Okay.
That's not bad, dude. So.
Okay. So it doesn't. It's just that Randy gave me a outline and then
said promptly hosed him.
Hosed me, and I didn't want to make any changes to the stream and break it. So I will do some changes later on after cool. the fact.
All right. I know you've always had a fascination with this topic in a game.
Right. I just think it just makes sense. You just killed a boar. Are you just going to leave it there? That doesn't make any sense.
No.
Unless you don't have the wherewithal to slaughter it. You don't have, you're a bunch of noodle arms and you can't carry it.
Right.
Or you're on the run and you have no time to.
We've often had rangers and stuff talk about, making jerky and stuff out of fresh meat. But how hard is that? If you're in the wilderness, don't you have to smoke jerky? I've never made it.
Oh, but, you know. If you're talking about actually making jerky, yeah, you can't just do that out in the field. Not if you're wanting to get anywhere anytime soon. You can potentially smoke something, but that still takes time. So
yeah,
you could maybe do a quick smoke that'll hold it up, hold bits of meat over for an extra day or two.
If you had the salt, you could salt it, right? And that would save it a little bit, right?
Correct. But again, depending on, that's a lot of salt that you would need to do that.
Yeah. Armin makes a good point. He's there at the bottom. Giant snakes has meat and would be yep. worth having. Dude, any kind of giant, or using the vernacular from third edition, dire animals, that would be a mega find for a hunter of a small village.
Right.
I killed a dire elk. Dude, we're going to be eating for a week.
So if you know you're within a couple days of a settlement, bringing in something you've killed, especially if it's not all that hot out, you might have to cut some of it off. You might have to waste some of it. But if you can get to a settlement within a few hours of you killing something, it should be fine.
Right.
You can smoke it there. Smoking it out in the wilderness, smoking meat to preserve it takes time.
That's what I thought. And usually it's inside a building, right?
And, you know, if you're smoking a big old dire boar for like 2 or 3 days to get it to be preserved,
ooh, yeah.
you're going to attract all kinds of things
yes,
if you're in an active environment. So,
yep.
And, you know, you might just attract some other people who have, you know, nefarious intentions.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be fun to like drop on a group, not immediately, you know, players first, you don't want to discourage them immediately, but after they've done that a few times, they do something out in the wilderness and you think about the smells attract certain creatures or even bandits say, hey, there's living people over here. We're going to go ahead and jump them.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you already have a random chance for encounters while you're going from A to B, if you're smoking something, those random chances go up, through the roof, if not just automatic.
And in a desolate wilderness or in like a dark sun setting or some Arctic setting, I'm just thinking I'm somewhat quasi barren place. If you kill something and you're cooking it, even just for yourselves, you would probably attract some predators because it's hard to find food.
Right.
And so they might be a little more, I mean, I'm not saying it has to be, I don't know the biology of it or the ecology of animals, but I would think if they're a little more, you know, likely, yeah, harder to find food, more scarce, they're likely to show up. So,
yeah, yeah.
That would not be nice.
Yeah, so Legion of Myth, after our dire boar example, says, then you find out the dire animals cause cause fever dreams.
Yeah. Dooley, that would not be nice, but I am noting that.
It, because for that very reason, it's for not that, nice.
Not nice. I love it. Yeah.
So this goes for the, you know, we've been talking about the giant versions of things, mm-hmm. giant spiders. You know, spiders don't have meat, really.
Not much.
When people eat spiders as a delicacy, it's usually there's just a crunchy kind of deal.
Yeah, I was telling the people when you left that I saw a video about two African girls had gathered several tarantulas on a big wide metal plate, and they cooked it over a fire, and then they poured sugar on it, and it was like a dessert. Crunchy, yeah, little, yeah. And I was like, ooh, tarantula.
Yeah, tarts. So crustaceans and arachnids and insects, they don't really have muscles. So. No.
Patrick disagrees. That is not a delicacy. Every one of Patrick's characters goes, forbidden to eat. The version of his version of kosher is no spider shall be consumed.
That is a deviancy. So, yeah. As much as you can probably expect to be able to eat regular animals, the giant versions are probably fine as well.
I would probably make it so, especially if it was quite a challenge for the characters to defeat. I mean, they should get something out of it.
Yes, Legion, me too. Glad I live in a first world country. Definitely.
Yeah.
Now, we've talked about regular animals and big animals. And I know people have mentioned weird creatures in the chat already, but how about creatures that are somewhat similar to our real world creatures, but a little strange, like okay. an owlbear? And it's maybe more than a little strange, but it's not an aberration per se.
You
it
can
just
eat,
combines a couple of different things together.
You can eat bear meat.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard it was super gamey and extra greasy. Owl bears, I don't see why not. I mean, the bird flavor might not do much to it. So if they're the bird bear mix, I mean, it's probably edible.
Unless you just set it up differently. Bulets, we already talked about, but still, it's a land version of a shark. So there shouldn't be any reason, unless you specify, give, you know, some crazy reason, because it's D&D. The DM can just say it's good and can say it's bad without really needing much justification.
What about a periton? All right, I know you said no humanoids, so harpies out, right? Harpies out?
Yeah, probably.
I would not even try to eat a harpy. Yeah. I wouldn't try. And a periton's that crazy deer-looking thing with giant antlers and claws. It's kind of a warp-looking, like, flying eagle deer.
It's a kind of a mongrel, but it also has an odd... In earlier versions, they cast shadow of a human, right?
Yes, I think that's the legendary. I think that's the mythological thing of some of the peritons. I think right. they're actually a mythological creature. Legion says Rakshasa, yeah.
They're a spirit creature, though, really.
In legend, Rakshasas yeah. are.
Well, they're...
They have been described in the game as being, yes,
right.
from
they're
another
not,
plane or spirit.
Yeah, they're from another plane. They're not a prime material
no.
creature, but... I mean, they're still sapient creatures, even though they're anthropomorphic tigers. Tigers.
Would you, or if lion. You were not a good character, would you eat a Kyren? That's kind of a horse-like creature, but they're very intelligent. Would you eat a dragon? Because that's an intelligent sapient creature.
Yeah. Dragon meat sounds like something I want to try, though.
Even if it just was talking to you 10 minutes ago.
Well, it depends on if it's mean.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
I get that.
But I mean, ogres are mean. They could talk to you, and I wouldn't eat them.
No. That's why I put the giants. I put the giants in a different category. Because
mm-hmm.
And the dragons. Mm. So, right. I put the stag beetle. They're weird. But
yeah.
they're not. But they're, you know, they're two. You know, there's all kinds of D&D monsters that are amalgams of two or more creatures put together.
Does the fire beetle come pre-cooked? So when you kill him, he's already got, maybe already have some jerky. That'd be kind of cool.
Or it might just provide its own fuel. You might find that fuel to light your fire in the fire beetle.
Flint Fireforge, welcome, brother. Glad you made it, bud.
Displacer Beast.
Someone said about them earlier, something about them having parasites. That would be cool. That'd be a thing to give somebody.
Oh, sure. You could, for especially the more strange creatures, have all kinds of reasons why you can't eat them. They rot as soon as they die. They have lots of parasites or poison running through them. Sure.
Oh, Legion of Mist says, beware the acid reflux from the red dragon. It's meant to be a funny thing, but that can be funny and interesting if, like, you got acid reflux and then you kind of started to hurl and you breathe fire once. D6 fire damage.
Yeah, how long do magical abilities last in the flesh? I know that a lot of ingredients for magic items require them to be from magical creatures, so they do retain some of those qualities. Yeah. And someone mentioned a rust monster. And they're very strange, and there's kind of there's a lot of question marks for these kinds of creatures on whether you can eat them or not. Like a rust monster or a roper.
I think you're really messing with you're taking chances then.
Or a cloaker.
El Paso. It's not just a town in Texas anymore.
Because those guys are kind of a different kind of crustacean variant, kind of. So yeah. Maybe you could find something good to eat when you crack their shell open. The rust monster, though, they usually look nasty in most of the pictures that
depict them. Nothing about them. And in the movie, in the D&D movie, they were like small. I saw some small rust monsters moving along. So,
they're like dog size, aren't they? Like dog. Like
yeah, they're bigger than that, yeah. But yeah. I'm saying in the movie I saw some small ones. Oh, Legion of Myth says shadows for people on a diet.
Yeah. Well, ectoplasm, I mean, we're talking about what's good to eat, but I'm going to also talk about stuff that you can do with monster body parts. Mm-hmm. But what about a behir? I mean, that's not just a big monster that's a little strange. That's a magical creature that's kind of like a dragon in a way.
8 or 12 legs. It breathes lightning.
They're huge, but they have animal intelligence though.
No,
right?
No.
They don't talk, do they?
I don't know. I think they might. It's been a long time. I know they're at least, I would say they're at least human intelligence.
Oh, I didn't think they were that smart.
Yes. They're at least on the crafty side. They're very, and some animals are crafty, but I feel like they actually can speak a language, but I'm not sure.
I was wondering if anybody would bring up the underground fungus.
Right.
I don't know if I would have, as a DM, any of that stuff being edible. Right. So you have shriekers and all kinds of other fungus, like fungus men. I mean, they're somewhat intelligent. I don't think I would want to eat one of those.
I just Googled it quickly. The behir is upper end of animal intelligence, so probably a crafty hunter. Sure.
Right. But of those, the behir is probably the one that you could probably maybe eat.
Yeah.
But the other ones, you know, because they're in the dungeon. You never know what they're going to eat, what kind of bodies they have. A cloaker.
There's no telling.
A cloaker is kind of like a manta ray. Yeah. So maybe.
Definitely not an Adiug. He eats trash.
No, you don't want to eat one of those things.
No, yucky poo-poo.
Though you might have people, like we say, Rocky Mountain oysters, or Patrick would say eating spiders isn't a delicacy, it's a deviancy. Some of this stuff that regular people probably wouldn't touch, like an atia, you might have groups of people that do
eat. Right.
And, you know, they might derive some sort of power at a price.
Sure.
They might just get sick and you find a bunch of cultists that are dead and because they've been eating the Atiug. So good on the Atiug, because you didn't really want to deal with cultists anyway.
And what if you ate, Patty says, what if you ate an intellect devourer? Because people eat monkey brains.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I'm not doing it.
Okay, so there's diseases that are passed through these particles that are in brain matter called prions or prions. Okay, I don't know which, whether the, which pronunciation is correct. And so there, it's believed that they are passed along because there are, they've shown that certain mental disorders are passed along by eating of brains. There are some tribes, Aboriginal tribes, where eating a brain is some sort of rite. And so that they end up with these disorders because of that. It's thought.
Yeah, like mad cow disease.
Mad cow because of brains. So if you eat an intellect devourer at your peril, it would be it would be cool. You could come up with a whole host of things that can happen to you as a result of eating, you know, bad meat from these guys.
Legion kind of channeled that before you even said it. Look at that comment at 8:15. You want to put that up right near the bottom. You see it? When you kill your first vampire, you have to drink its blood as a rite of passage. That would not, if you had a tribe like that, like imagine, a, or maybe it's a town where like they had problems with vampires and so infested in the region. And so they had a group of vampire hunters. You could incorporate a Ripper's type idea where they do that to gain power. I mean, you could, if you wanted to theme your campaign around something like that, that would be interesting. Doesn't mean the player characters have to do it, but there could be a group of adventurers that do that. They drink the blood of the vampire kills. Maybe over time they become something worse. That actually could be great adventure. Could create great adventure seeds and campaign development. That's a cool idea,
Legion. Right, actually. And it might. And you could have it so that it actually does make a lesser vampire or give vampire-like powers to someone if you kill a vampire and then drink its blood right away.
Right.
You could also, they can also, you know, have a bad time.
Yep. Yep.
I'm thinking the, I don't know if they called him a ghoul, but in Blade 2, was it Blade 2? It was in Blade, oh no, it was in Blade where he meets that female doctor and her fellow, they might have been medical students, and one of her colleagues was bit, but just like scratched. It wasn't completely, you know, turned. So he was kind of half turned.
Gotcha.
And ended up more ghoulish and less vampire-y.
So oh, okay.
That could be something.
It's been a while since I've seen Blade. I remember very little about that.
Yeah. All right, so I need to add that as a point in here.
Iron Man made a good comment. He said, if you have just a little meat, cast enlarge spell on it and feed your guests. But then when it goes back, is it hungry again?
Well, there are those kinds of things to consider. I mean, the target of an enlarge spell, you'd have to look at how it's worded. Yep. I don't think enlarge works on everything, but if it doesn't, especially if you allow more broad interpretations and you use an older version of the game where it just says that it
makes the object get cast on twice as big or something. Yeah.
Something like that. If it doesn't specifically say
a people,
so you could potentially target a hunk of meat. Maybe that would work that way.
Yeah,
like, but it Chinese would be temporary. You'd probably make it super temporary. Like, it'd start out big and then you start chewing into it and it turns small right away because you're
damaging
eating, eating the magic away.
I don't know. Yeah,
but then it could make you big
for a couple rounds,
maybe like a potion.
Yeah,
so instead of you cast it on the food, you eat the food, you get big.
Jerky of haste.
Right.
Pass
right.
out jerky and eat the jerky because it was a quickling. Ooh, I made it from a quickling.
So, yeah, you could come up with a whole horror show list of mm-hmm. things with sentient creatures.
Mm-hmm.
I probably would be nice to do that, or not nice, but it would be mm-hmm. a way to signify the bad guys.
Yes, right. Creepy horror elements, Ravenlofty, worse than Ravenloft, right. but as bad, really dark.
Mm. Right, so how about, so we've gone through a bit of a list of creatures that would be good to maybe questionable on what what you can eat it. But these creatures are worth more than just for food. A lot of them might be. Mm-hmm. There are some thematic elements to these monsters that you can invent ingredients for, magic items or rituals or whatever. Yep. So some popular ones are, well, dragons.
Sure.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And giants as well. Anything that's really big, really magical, there's usually some indication that you can use something out of it
mm-hmm.
in a magic item or some other magic thing. Or maybe you devour it as well. It's not food. It might just be something that energizes you. So you eat a dragon's heart and you become more powerful, maybe temporarily or maybe permanently. I was thinking, what about a kraken? Because it's not a dragon, but it kind of occupies a similar niche, but in the water.
Could allow you to survive deep in the depths under the ocean.
Could.
It could do other things.
Could poison the hell out of you, too.
It could. It could cause multiple arms to grow from your body.
Right.
Because I think the Kraken is, I've never used a Kraken much at all. I think they're somewhat quasi-magical, too, I think. I think they have magical powers, don't they?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Probably. Just something that enormous existing. What?
What's that?
Human horn?
Legion.
I don't know what you're talking about. Or I'll say I don't want to know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think magical ingredients, medicinal effects. I mean, that's a lot of fodder. Larry Elliott mentions dragon skin armor. Absolutely.
Right, right. Oh, so I could bring a wheel of cheddar and have cheese and Kraken. There you go.
Well said, Flint.
Oh, so Legion's comment is a Futurama reference.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Oh, I said fungus men, which are myconids. But they are sapient, aren't they? Are the fungus men actually sapient?
Yes.
I imagine there are some varieties that would be a no-go, but could you imagine a tribe of people that hunt down hallucinogenic
myconids? Yeah, dude. I think this whole cooking thing, you're on to something, Joe.
Right. Right. So David Will says it succinctly, alchemical items. So that doesn't just mean potions. He mentions potions. So alchemical meaning use in magical creations more generally. Dorotheic says, I would allow players willing to put in the effort to make weapons and armor out of a creature to have some ability the creature had only minimize the effect so it's not out of hand. Right, right, right.
Yeah, or make it a similar thing. If you got a creature that's super fast, they could make a speed potion.
Right.
Someone that really tough, they get a bonus to their armor class, however you want to do it, or to the con.
Right, so most of the time, you're not really in a position to break a monster down, like I was saying earlier. Usually not, because you're right. Usually on a timetable. You don't necessarily have all the equipment you need. And if your DM really is nice to you, maybe he gives you a bag of holding that preserves stuff. But
what kind of DM does that?
One that's horrible. Got a good head on their shoulders.
A little wuss bag and gives away magic items for free.
For free.
So. Free magic items. Look, we barely killed 1,000 dragons and you want a bag of holding? Right.
Right. You got to work for this, son.
Come on, 1,000 dragons is nothing. Get with it.
Right. Someone mentioned undead to make, broth. So skeletons.
Mm-hmm.
So what could you use undead parts for? do you think?
Well, I mentioned
the corporeal. Lich. Corporeal.
I'm corporeal. Dead. Okay. I would think.
Because you got bones and you got leather-like flesh, if there's any of that left. Depending on the monster, some of them have real putrid flesh, like which is the gas, the one that has the gassy
stench. Yeah, you can make like a potion of what's that gaseous cloud? Wasn't there a spell that was like gaseous cloud that it could?
There is gaseous cloud.
Stinking cloud. Stinking cloud. And it can stink up the air. You could do that. Poisons. Yeah, I agree with Iron Man. Poisons could work. Fermented head cheese. Oh.
So, yeah. I was thinking, yeah, that's cool. Those kinds of uses. Golems. You might be able to glean some use out of their broken down parts once you've defeated them.
Sure.
Any kind of construct would probably work that way, or could work that way.
Oh, I like the theme. Legion says use a mummy's bandages to resist mummy's rot. Once they've been destroyed, yeah, that would be kind of a cool way to do it.
You might have to, like, maybe you could sanctify them, you know, pour holy water on them.
Or, yeah.
And if you're deep as deep. Is, you put on a mummy's bandages, unless the setup in your game is that once the mummy is dead, the bandages then transform into something useful.
Or what if you're in a big tomb and you fight multiple warrior mummies before you get to Imhotep?
Right.
And, you can get those to make protect you against him, because right. he may have a really a nasty rot, and you could learn that secret before you go. So when you destroy his guard, you take the wraps, bless them in holy water, or make a bless them. Then you can wrap your arms like straps, and they make you immune to, or you know, lessen his rot.
You could even say you have a layer between you and those wrappings.
Yes.
So that's why it's protective, because you maybe you don't want the mummy wrappings to touch your skin, but if you're already covered, then that can go over your skin and keep the mummy from getting to you.
Looks like you need to try Patrick's game.
Good deal.
A lot of this stuff in there, so that'll be cool.
Now, I'm thinking that in dungeons, most of the stuff down there is going to be nasty.
It's hard to imagine it wouldn't be.
Right. For the most part, it's going to be rare. I mean, what a mimic. Like any of these, like things that we've already talked about, like the cloaker or the roper or the Otiug, the mimic is something that just sits in a dank dungeon and eats whatever it can get hold of.
Yep.
And probably just absorbs the putrid atmosphere that's under there.
That would be cool. Darth has got a comment on golems at the bottom. Check that out.
Turn golem hands into gauntlets. Yeah.
Cool would it be if you took an iron golem and it was kind of made in sort of a clockwork fashion and you had gloves that could change shape to do different things? Like a thief could have metal gloves, but it could have thieves' picks come out the end.
Oh, sure, sure.
And give you bonuses and have magical different things it could do. That'd be kind of cool. A really powerful set of gloves made from a golem of some sort or an automaton.
Yeah, that really could work.
Automaton. That's the word, yeah.
Okay, so what monsters would you guys think? I'm going to give some examples that are just a hot mess. You really can't do much with them once they're dead. I'm going to start out with incorporeal undead.
Yeah.
Unless the exception is if you're in your game world, ectoplasm is a thing.
Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. So if you have a ghost, they die, you destroy them. Do they just evaporate into nothing?
Right. Do they leave a trace amount?
The trace amount of ectoplasm. Is there even any such thing as ectoplasm in your game world? If these incorporeal things pass over you or through you, or whatever, do they leave some of this junk behind? Can you do anything with it?
Yeah, I think I agree with Armand. Not only would black pudding not be good, I would not. I wouldn't probably let any of the jellies and crap be worth anything, as far as. Unless you're going to make something out of its goopy corpse. Spectre, the other white meat.
That's a good one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't eat anything from a lich. Correct. But you might be able to use some of it.
Right.
So yeah. David Will says, leave some ectoplasm that you can use to make it and oil that makes your weapons and armor effective against ghosts.
Sure.
So it's cool to have, if you just say nothing, nothing, nothing all the time, it's kind of boring. So maybe every once in a while you kill an incorporeal undead. It doesn't have to be all of them all the time, but every once in a while they leave a little residue behind that you can collect. And if your DM is, you know, reasonable, maybe he says you don't need a whole lot.
Right.
This guy, though, you might need a gallon or two. So who knows how many.
Yeah.
How many you'd have to kill? 50 or 100?
Demons would be out. Dartha made something about eating a Vrock. Demons, for me, are probably always going to turn into some sort of goo that you don't want to mess with. If you were in a hellish realm or the abyss and you were fighting demons, I always like the idea of their bodies being more normal up there, where they would fall down and maybe you could take something from them. I don't think elementals would be terribly useful. I agree with Flint. Living rice puddings.
Oh, that reminds me of the stuff. That's more living yogurt, but not much of a difference. Gelatinous cube.
They were talking. Someone was talking about using that. I think it was Patrick said in some D&D something they used gelatinous cubes and others to make something. But I don't know. Not for me. None of that stuff would be worth anything except for like magical components.
What we're talking about at this
point. Oh, okay. So we're not eating. We're not eating. Would there be
anything? No. We've gone beyond the eating part.
Any magical creature for sure. I would let a creature. I would let demon ichor that's left over after they're destroyed. That could be used for something. As long as we're not talking about food, but using it for other things, yes.
Yeah. So someone mentioned Shambling Mount earlier. Mm-hmm. So we could probably figure out a use for something out of just about anything.
Yeah.
I was initially thinking that incorporeal undead are generally not much use.
How cool would this be? Shambling Mounds, at least the last few times I've read them, when you hit them with lightning, I think they split into two.
They do.
And what if you make a potion where you drink it from the Shambling Mound, and if you get hit by lightning, you split into two creatures, like a twin spell, but you get an ally, a shade, that fights at like 2/3 your strength for like a few minutes. That'd be crazy.
What if that's what the potion does? But you have to imbue it with the lightning as part of its creation. So when you drink it, you are electrified for a moment. So maybe
that'd be kind of cool. Yeah.
Maybe you lose an attack or something.
Yeah. Take a small hit point of damage or something, something annoying. -1 to attack the first round or something. Yeah.
Right. So beholders, probably not eating, but you could probably use their eye stalks or eyes or their central eye.
Levitation, anti-magic, vision, any vision related spell, dark vision spell, anything that would let you see in the dark or see someone. Yeah.
Go ahead. It's addressed to you.
In a game, David Will says, I ran. The characters killed a demon and kept its brain because the wizard was able to set it up so that eating it would give temporary access to a spell the demon knew. Ooh, yeah, okay.
Were there any drawbacks? Mm-hmm. It'd be cool. If it would be cool either way.
Yeah. Oh, I like what Larry Elliott's thinking. There could be a possible penalty if you screw up trying to get it from the creature. Yeah, if you mess something up, maybe if you like trying to cut the stink glands out of a ghast, and if you screw it up, it just blasts you and you take the onslaught of it. Yeah.
Ouch time. Mm-hmm. Okay, Flint. Would mermen women be considered surf and turf?
Oh, dude. Dude. Yucky poo-poo.
Would not eat. No.
Mm-mm. Nope. No thanks.
Ooh, demon brain for astral spell or gate.
Sure.
So, these things we're talking about with magic items and alchemical uses are cool. Mm-hmm. For existing spells, mm-hmm. like Legion Myth just said, could you glean things out here that would be power components or the demon brain would just let you cast it?
Yeah, you could. I think, or you could enhance it and cause the, you know, -2 to any saving throw or a bonus on your roll to, you know, summon that creature. For sure, you could. That would be a great way to use it. I would be loath, like, if you said it is a component to be able to cast gate, you must have a demon brain. I I mean, if you want Gate to be a super rare spell, okay.
I mean, that would be one way to do it.
Yeah.
For sure.
Not, but to be casting Gate, you're, what, 18th level wizard in D&D, 17th level? You kill a lot of demons at 17th level.
Sure. So, as far as the question about drawbacks for David Gwill, there was mostly corruption because in the game they were also associated strongly with sins.
Oh, okay.
Again, from David, we did that in our Black Book Delvers game. Different parts could enhance a spell or offset a spell component cost, right?
I think that would be good. I would, especially since we're leaning towards some sort of spell point system. Creature parts could cut down the cost. Oh, yeah, there you go.
Spell points, not spell component cost.
What he said. Yeah, what David said. Yep.
So, yeah, that's cool. Power component or offsetting. Yep. Use this instead of your spell points if you're using that or a spell slot.
Sure.
And that would be a good way to continue to use the standard Vancian magic system. But yes. Then if you grab these components, you don't lose your slot for casting that spell. You use this goop up instead.
Yeah.
So that would be cool.
Yeah, Legion qualifies. He said maybe not a must, but perhaps as a focus. So a bonus. Shorter yeah. casting time, longer duration, more accurate. Sure, sure.
Right.
That'd work.
Right.
That would work for sure.
That's
something, you know, I think that's something I want to think about more doing, but we'll talk about it. We're going to talk more about Cabin Con. I got some things I want to bounce off you. So like my fist.
Yeah. I was going to say things you want to bounce off of me. I'm not a bouncy. It's going to break or bruise, not bounce.
Bruise my fist. If I punch Joe.
I don't know if you necessarily want to set it all down in stone. I know Randy will. Randy will want to make sure that this kind of stuff, if he's using it, is very defined. But you don't necessarily need to. Loose guidelines for these things. Mm-hmm.
What I was thinking, Joe, even though that would be my normal... You're not mm-hmm. wrong. My normal approach. I think I would. I think I'd like to just like consider it more. That's what I'm saying. Right. I want to try to consider it more when I'm playing.
Right. So while it would be good to have some general guidelines and have some examples, you could in the monster entry have something in there detailing what's useful or. Top 10 uses of dragon parts, or if you're talking about something less powerful, like you can use mimics innards for something, some kind of transformation magic. You don't want to put it in your mouth, though.
Darth calls out 838. I thought I saw that somewhere. It was a second edition monster manual. He said it really likes... the 2E Monster Manual, as it had an ecology section,
creature,
giving ideas for what the creature can be used for. In some cases, yeah.
And in some cases, yeah.
In a lot of cases. So that's where I think the second edition Monster Manual was vastly superior. I love ecology. I'm not a here's stats and a name for a creature and one sentence. I'm not that guy. I want my monsters. You detail as much as is reasonable for the book, and that can mean a whole page. If every monster has a whole page, I like that. If they have two pages, I can live with that. If most of that is ecology and discussion of how the creature might fit into your world, I love that.
Yeah, and as Flint Fireforge points out, Dragon Magazine did a whole series
on
monster ecologies.
They were great.
And some of them were very in-depth.
Yeah.
There
was a Monster Hunters Guild that they had a series on in Dungeon where they talked a lot about that.
Right.
Yeah. Not Dungeon, Dragon, my bad. Yep. It's cool.
So, Biggest Geekus, that's what we did. You get parts, a chance to get a usable part, and the values for each, so you can sell them or use them for crafting. Cool.
Yeah, I think what you're saying, Joe, is like, what I could do, I could have an NPC that might proffer up hey, if you get this, the elbow of this, bring me the elbow of this, you know, dinosaur creature, then I can do this with it. And then that might spark the imagination, Joe, because Joe would do it. He'd be like, dude, we just killed a Bulette. Could I make something out of its, you know, head armor? I'm like, oh yeah, it looks like it'd be good shape for a shield. Okay, do this. Or, you know, what if I took the gland of this, you know, what's a paralyzing creature that's not undead?
Cato Blipas? Oh no, they just kill
it. Killer. The big head. Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I was just trying to. Oh, the beholder has an eye that paralyzes you. So
right. It's a spell.
That's correct, Martinson. The Draconomicon is my favorite, one of my favorite books.
Right. So I think that having this as something, and even if you don't specifically detail it out as a DM,
right,
detail out for you, if you just have it in the back of your mind or some brief notes, it can add some more depth to your world and make it more weird.
Well, and that's why I like, well, and that's why I like 13th Age. I love their monster book, because not only do they give roughly a half a page, they don't give as much as I would like on every creature, because they'll have variants, but when they do the main discussion, they'll usually be two or three options. They'll say, this is true, maybe, or this is true, maybe, or this is true, maybe. I like that a lot.
And you're going to have some posers. You're going to have that merchant that comes through town with his wagon full of junk that he's trying to pass off as special.
I have these marbleized beholder eyes. They're just marbles. They're marbles.
Those would be great fodder for the guard to do the stabby with.
Yeah. He has Nistel's magic aura on it, and you're like, ooh, it's magical. Cool.
I mean, in our world, very few creatures have, apart from nutrition, very few have things that we can use for even medicinal. I mean, there's some. Mm-hmm. But there's so many, like shark fin. You eat shark fin, it'll solve that ED right up. Or, right. Or a lot. There's people who will
rhinoceros horn crushed up. That's a thing,
right? But there's a cure for cancer. Like all these things that are cure for cancer that never ever are.
Butterfly gonads will cure your cancer.
Yeah. So. Very rarely, but what will set a fantasy world apart is there's a lot of that stuff that will happen. Maybe not the ED part, but lots of curatives and magical reagents and stuff like that.
I don't know, but sure, my adventures won't have an issue with ED. So there you go, because they'll be as manly can be.
Right, right.
In all never possible
fail.
Ways.
Never fail.
Never fail. Their wives will be very happy.
Right. Well. Unless you have, we're probably going to make this a short one.
I could do some of my ranty stuff. Now, I think I'm beat, dude. I'll be honest. I think I'd like to make it a short one unless you got something.
Yeah, we can do the ranty stuff next time when we come back.
Well, I'd like to make one comment so it doesn't get old. Okay. You heard about Nerdcognito, right?
Yes.
They got completely blitzed and kicked off of YouTube. Or
yeah, I don't know what the specific thing was.
They don't know. That it happened. They got some people that did the whole cancel culture thing.
Oh, sure.
I have a bigger discussion of that, but I do. That not only kind of annoyed me, not just because I'm, you know, kind of friends with Ryan and them, but not just friendship part. It's just that and the thing at the Red Room and the way some people get all bent out of shape with Avenger. And honestly, most of their stuff that those guys make, I'm not a big fan of. I don't necessarily love Avenger stuff. I mean, I don't hate it. It's good quality. I'm not a big Red Room guy. I love those two people, Sylvia.
Yeah, yeah.
Why am I losing his name? Rivera.
Miguel.
They're both great people. I didn't, a lot of their different things aren't for me. But having said that, I'll leave it at this. It's got me thinking the value of a lot of what people do. And I'll talk about that more next time.
But yeah, it's crazy because people go on these campaigns to cancel folks. And whether you like stuff that Nerdcognito does, maybe he's a little too off color for you.
He can't.
There are people that promote pedophilia, that promote toxic lifestyles that are really bad for everybody. But because it's their identity, like this fat culture, I'm overweight, but I'm not going to suggest people to be overweight. It's a bad thing. And these folks are celebrated. No one's kicking them off the internet. People are making fun of them, and the ones that make fun of them end up getting kicked off the internet.
That's one of the things I want to talk to you about at Cabin Con. I got some real serious issues I want to talk about.
Okay.
So, yeah. But, and we may bring it to the show. We may not. So,
yeah, I mean, he may not be your cup of tea, but there's whatever got him kicked off was probably.
Dude, sometimes Ryan says stuff that not my favorite things, but
yeah.
And the point is, there was no, it's irrelevant of why it was, but people making it their business to try to destroy whatever you're doing.
Yeah. Right. And some bit of that is his livelihood. And, you know, I don't know how much, but dude, I'm not even going to go out of my way to try to, like, the thirsty sword lesbian crap. I'm not going to get everybody together to try to, you know, destroy those people's lives. I'm just not going to buy it. And if you ask me, I'll suggest you don't buy it. But
no, I don't disagree, Legion. Not at all. But I mean, I don't know all the ins and outs of all that. I've tried to stay away from that because I don't even care. Everybody has, I don't know. But to me, it's more about, well, we'll talk about it another time. I don't want to talk about it tonight, guys. I'm beat. So we'll probably have a show all on that. Yeah.
I didn't know any of that.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. People have moved in all, you know, like anybody else, we have tribes and we have sub-tribes right. And groups don't get along, and that's fine. I mean, there's people, you know, I wouldn't like gaming with or talking with, and others I don't. And I just don't why you want to go after each other. And I'm not saying they did. I'm just, I mean, whoever it is, just ignore them. I mean, there's a lot of the super crazy blue-haired lefty people play D&D lots of weird ways. I don't go after them. I mean, I might poke fun of them. You know what? Poke fun of me. I don't care. People said mean things about us before on, like, Spotify and what's the other one? What do I listen to? The Apple one. iTunes. Yeah. We got a couple bad reviews. We did turn one guy back from a 0 to a 3. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
But back in the day. But, yeah, I mean, whatever. You can call names. It's the internet, whatever. But to try to burn somebody down, it's just, I don't know.
It's petty.
It's very petty.
Let's not be petty.
Yeah, that's
Let's just do our own thing. That's what I'm gonna do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you want to be left alone. You want to live and let live. They can't have that. So we need places that are immune to their whining. And, you know, I don't even know if we would be anyone's target like that, even if we got a few hundred more or a few thousand more subscribers.
They can't. They can't do. I think he's been being demonetized. Does that mean he can't do YouTube, or just that he can't get paid for it?
Was he demonetized or kicked off?
Oh yeah, I can't remember.
Demonetized. There's a difference.
Yeah.
I mean, if his channel, I heard his channel was deleted.
Oh okay.
You can come back from that, depending on what stage all this is in. If it was one day fine, the next day no channel, more than likely if he appeals and wins an appeal, or if it's like, well, you can't have a channel for a month, because sometimes that happens.
Yeah, thank you, Patty. Appreciate it. BGE, thanks you too, man. We're glad you support us, and that's awesome.
Yes. Sometime, anyway. And like I said, sometime after Cabin Con, I'll have things in hand with the Emporium.
Yep.
God willing.
Yep. All right, bud. I guess
so. That's... Are we good to go for getting out of here?
Yeah, Cabin Con is on the horizon. We got a boogie, man.
Oh, yeah. So Cabin Con is on the horizon. Don't forget Big Geek Con. 2024 coming up in September. $30 for those of you who haven't gotten tickets but are planning on it, but just waiting a little while longer. That's fine. I don't think we got most of the ticket sales until a couple months beforehand last year.
The Wifey Poo had, I can't remember it right now. Last night, the Wifey Poo had a great idea for Big Geek Con. I need to help her remind me and then tell you about it. It's kind of a cool little thing she thought of.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yep.
So make sure you put Big Geek Con 2 on your calendar, September 20th to 22nd. Only $30 if you haven't gotten your ticket yet. All right. Anything else you want to talk about?
Nothing for me.
Okie dokie. It's lined up. All right. Well, if there's nothing from you, there's nothing from me, links will be in the show notes.
Right on.
This is Joe.
And I'm Randy.
And remember, if you can't be big like us, then be geeks like us.